Okay, a couple logistical things before we get started, and we'll start with introductions of the small groups team. Rennell right here in blue is handing out some one-pagers. They're just a few things to take notes on during this. You have something to write on. You obviously have your curriculum. If you haven't grabbed a curriculum book yet for whatever you're leading, they're on the tables. Make sure you grab one. But make sure you also get one of these one-pagers that's being handed out for first-year leader training. So that's point number one. The second thing is I'm going to give you the dates for the next three first-year leader trainings. We have four throughout the course of the entire year. We do this just with first-year leaders. This isn't something you do in perpetuity. But I want you to write down these dates somewhere. You can write them down on the paper. You can text them to somebody. You can put them in your calendar right now. I'm going to go ahead and give you what those dates are just so you've got them marked off. And we'll make sure and email those to you as well, but just on the front end. So the second one is going to be on Sunday, October 19th. At 3:30, and we do these up in the elementary assembly room. So Sunday, October 19th at 3:30. The third one, we have a big winter conference, much like you'll see today. That's going to happen on January, I don't have that date on here. It's the second Saturday in January. I'll get you that date. But we'll make sure you guys know about that. It's a big conference. Everybody's going to be involved. And then the fourth one is Sunday, March 1st at 3:30. As well, up in the elementary assembly here at GBC. So Sunday, March 1st, Sunday, October 19th, those are the dates I for sure want you to know. And then Saturday, January 10th, that is the winter roundup, as we like to call it. That's when that third meeting will be, and today's the first meeting. So those are your four meetings that we're gonna ask you guys to participate in. We're gonna provide a bunch of tools, a variety of different training, material in relation to our small groups here at GBC, why we do what we do, how we do it, how to best equip the saints for the work of ministry, all that kind of stuff. But that's really what that looks like. So those are the two logistical things. The last thing before we do introductions, while you guys are sitting down, if you do not know the people that we have paired you with, if you got online and you looked and you're like, man, I don't know any of those people, and you're like, how am I going to meet them today? Go back to my email, click on that link. You should have their phone number on there. You should text them right now and say, hey, I'm wearing a blue shirt. I'd love to meet you when we break for lunch at noon or whatever it is. But make sure that you have a plan to try and meet your co-leaders today if they're going to be here. And if you need to get out your phones and do that right now, do that, because we want y'all to at least be able to shake hands with your co-leaders today if you don't know them. So those are the three logistical things to get across right on the front end. If you need a pin, we've got pins right here. You're welcome to come up and get them, or we might have somebody hand out them after we do introductions. But that's kind of everything that'll hopefully get you set up for this morning. Obviously, there's tacos in the back. There's coffee just outside the walls. And feel free to hop up and go use the restroom whenever you want this morning. The dates were October 19th, Sunday, October 19th, January 10th, that's a Saturday, and March 1st, and March 1st, Sunday, March 1st. Those are your three dates of the trainings. Okay, with that, we're going to go ahead and get started. And what I want to start with is I want to introduce our small groups team to y'all so that you know them. The idea behind this is, A, that you would not only recognize them and see them on Sundays, but come introduce yourselves if you can. We have 500 leaders or so in the small groups ministry alone, and it's really hard for us to know y'all, but we have a strong desire to do that. We're going to try our very best, and I think we're going to accomplish it, to meet with you guys each one-on-one at some point from now until May. That's a long time. You might be the person that we meet in May, and we'd love to meet you before that, so come introduce yourselves before that if you wind up being that person. But we're going to introduce ourselves up here, and we'd love to say, hey, we'd love to buy you a coffee anytime. If you have questions about groups, if you have questions about GBC, if you have questions about anything that's going on, questions about people in your group, whatever it may be, reach out to us. We really do want to connect with y'all. We'll try to communicate very well with y'all and answer any questions y'all might have. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and have you guys come up here, and we'll get Rennell up here whenever she comes back. She's doing something very purposeful, I have no doubt. Passing out handouts, servant-hearted. Look at that. We're going to go right to left here, and this is our small groups team. There's five of us. The person who's not here this morning is Daniel Ernest. You guys know Daniel. He helps write curriculum, so he's like a pseudo part of the small groups team because the curriculum obviously matters in small groups. But he does a lot of work in the curriculum, and so he's kind of like the sixth guy, you know what I mean? But this is a small groups team here at GBC, so I'm going to pass this mic down to Mimi, and I guess I don't need that to speak. And she's going to introduce herself, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then if you'll just pass the mic down this way, I'll finish.
Okay, good morning. I'm Mimi Epps. I have been on staff for 13 years. My job is just small groups administrator, so anything to have to do with small groups, specifically community groups, but all things, leader recruitment, curriculum. I help Daniel, so I also work for Daniel, who is our executive pastor, just anything that he has come across his desk. And I am leading a growth group this year with a couple first-year leaders, Jessica and Harrison West.
Yay! Okay, I'm Renelle Woolrich. I have been on staff for 12 years, and I'm the Women's Discipleship Director, so anything women's comes between me and Andrea, who you'll hear from in a minute. But women's community groups, we have those AM and PM, so I do those. I led a growth group last year, but this year I'm leading a women's PM group, so I'm excited about that. We'll be studying Exodus as well.
My name is Hayden Potcotter, and I'm the men's pastor here at GBC. I've been on staff for a little over 3 years, and I basically, I'm an assistant to the small groups pastor is what I consider. I'm just kidding. I do all the men's ministry stuff, which is really, you know, men's dinner, men's retreat, any of the sports groups we have. And then I also, within small groups, in addition to really all of us sharing a lot of roles, I also oversee our men's groups that meet on Tuesday mornings up here at GBC at 6 a.m. So, yeah, that's it.
I'm Andrea Orr. I'm starting my third year on staff here at GBC, but I've been coming here for 13 years. And like Brunel said, I do women's ministry with her. And then on the small groups team, I put the growth groups together and the spring small groups. So if you're leading a growth group, you will probably hear from me at some point. And I'm doing a fall leadership group, spring small group this year, and excited for that.
Awesome. Thanks, y'all. That's our small groups team. As Andrea and Mimi specifically mentioned, if you are in a community group and you end up having questions, Mimi's your go-to. I'm happy to be on that email, and I can also answer questions. If you're in a growth group, Andrea's kind of running point on the growth groups. I'm also happy to answer questions. But those are kind of the two people that you want to reach out to. And the thing I'll mention, which I already kind of mentioned, was if y'all have like anything going on in group and you're like, how do I handle this? It's amazing that when we get to May, leaders are like, oh, well, this happened, and we didn't really know what to do, and our group kind of went downhill from there, and people stopped coming, or this or that, and I'm like, why didn't you reach out to us in January? Like, reach out to us. I promise all we want to do is communicate and connect with you. We want to know the pulse of our small groups and what's going on. We are available, honestly, 24/7, as much as I hate to say it. Like, you know, we get calls at 7 p.m. and 7 a.m., so don't be hesitant to call us. That is our small groups team. I'm Travis Hill. I'm the small groups pastor here at Grace Bible Church. I've been here for 6-plus years now. I went to the University of Oklahoma and moved down here back in 12 and worked in the oil and gas world for a little while and then came on staff here in 2019. And I've been a part of GBC since 2013. This year will be my 11th or 12th group, whatever that may be. And Bailey and I, my wife and I, are who's maybe going to have a kid here, and who knows when. Soon enough. We're leading a growth group this year that's a spring small group that stayed together, and we're really, really excited about it. It's going to be a super fun group this year. So that's kind of what we're doing. With that being said, let's jump into the first-year leader training. Really what we want to do here is not only in this first one establish the foundation of why, the why of our small groups, and I want to make sure that y'all are understanding of that and that y'all are rooted in that such that when you lead throughout this whole year, you get the purpose in what you're doing, what you're accomplishing, what you're moving towards, who you're moving towards it with, all of that kind of stuff. So I'm going to give you some of the why, and then we're going to talk a little bit about culture. And then Mimi's going to get up here, and she's going to give you a lot of really practical things that you need to know to start your group off, places you need to go, websites that we have, resources that we have, all of that kind of stuff. She's going to talk through that. I'm going to give you a little more encouragement from Scripture, and then Renell's going to hop up here and do one of our training tools that we have that'll hopefully help you as you jump into your groups really identify the different people in your group pretty quickly and maybe how to best care for them, minister to them, lead them. And that's what really this next kind of 45 minutes is going to look like. We'll try to get you out of here 5 minutes early or something like that, so you can go grab a taco, go to the bathroom, and then jump back in here for the big session when everybody's arriving. So that's what your morning's going to look like. And so I'm going to start off with kind of the why. And what I want to do here is I want to think of this as a big funnel. We joke about funnels a lot here at Grace Bible Church, but big funnel, we're going to talk big picture, like meta-narrative of Scripture, cover to cover. Mimi, what you got? Oh, sorry. This one's for later if you grabbed both of these handouts. That's probably fine that you have it. No big deal. Six Gospels. The back says six Gospels. So we're on the front of that one, if that'll help. Sorry if you grabbed the second one. I brought it in here, I put it up here, and some of you guys probably grabbed it. Totally understandable. Hang on to it. You might use it later. Okay, so what we're doing is, we're taking this funnel approach. We're going to talk meta-narrative, cover-to-cover Scripture, and then we're going to talk about how the local church fits within that. We're going to talk about how GBC's mission statement applies to our local church body. We're going to talk about how small groups fit within the church, and then we're going to talk about you as leaders. And so we're going to kind of work our way down. And so big picture, meta-narrative of Scripture, cover-to-cover, Genesis to Revelation, it goes from garden to garden. You're going to find that on your sheet. That's going to be one of those blanks you want to fill in. You don't have to fill those in. They're there to help you kind of concentrate if you lose me. It goes from garden to garden. You know, the Garden of Eden, Lord designed this perfect dwelling place for he and his people, and it's this garden-like environment. And what that goes to from Genesis to Revelation is the New Jerusalem in Revelation, and it has those same like arboreal garden-like elements. And so really we're going from garden to garden. We're going from Genesis to Revelation. And the meta-narrative across the way, these are the other four blanks you're going to see, is creation, and then fall, and then redemption. And this last word, I like to use the word consummation. I think completion, I think glorification. You can use what you want there. Some of you may have heard that type of progression of the meta-narrative. There are different varieties of it. It's not this perfect explanation. But creation, fall, redemption, completion. And we're going from garden to garden. And so the question, in a lot of ways, the fall is obviously the fall of man. Redemption is obviously the incarnation of Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, sending of the Holy Spirit to us. And the local church, really, where we're at now, fits within redemption to completion, redemption to consummation. We're right in that arena where we see a lot in Acts, these local churches cropping up in these different regions throughout the world. And they're these local bodies of Christ, and they're made up of what Peter calls sojourners and strangers. And what that means is it's people who are estranged to the world. People have been born again. They're believers. It's a body of believers, body of Christ, gathering together to worship the Lord in an environment where they can come together in person and sing praises to God and encourage one another and break bread to one another and be accountable to one another and all of the things that you see within the local church body. And so that's kind of where the local church fits within that meta-narrative. It's in between redemption and completion, and that's the hope that we have for tomorrow is that Christ would come, the second coming of Christ, the New Jerusalem, and we'd be have these perfect, glorified bodies, and we'd be living in the state of perfection with the Lord. That's the joy, the hope that we have, that we look forward to, and that we're trying to share with others. That's part of the gospel that we're trying to share. And so within that local church then, where does GBC's mission statement fit in? GBC's mission is to glorify God by making disciples who transform the world. You guys have probably heard this before. I hope you have. But our aim, the one core thing that we do, we're kind of a one-trick pony, is make disciples. We call everyone in GBC, if you've been here in August, to go and make disciples. It comes from the Great Commission. It comes from countless places in Scripture. Jesus called the 12 disciples. Like there's countless places where you can see within Scripture that our aim is to make disciples, is to share the gospel and to make disciples who then make disciples who then make disciples. And it's this progression of advancing the kingdom, growing the kingdom, making sure that Christ's name is known across the globe. So our aim is to glorify God by making disciples who transform the world. Within that then sits the small group ministry. Within that local church is our small groups ministry. And our aim then is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So we're trying to equip the body of Christ at GBC a unified body here at Grace Bible Church, this local church, to do ministry really well. What is that ministry? That ministry is making disciples who transform the world. So our job is to equip you to make disciples. That's what our aim is, and that's where our small groups fits in. We're putting you in this model where you can go and practice this idea of studying scripture together, of praying for one another, of caring for one another, of having intentional fellowship with one another, asking hard questions, challenging one another. We're putting you in these environments with other believers to do these very things, like a basketball team practices 5 days a week and then plays the game. We're practicing one night a week, and we're playing the game 7 days a week. And so we're trying to equip you to be more comfortable, to be more confident, to be more bold in the way that you do those very things. That's what our small groups ministry is trying to do. So from there then, how do we establish that equipping culture within our groups? So that's what we're trying to do within our small groups. That's what we're trying to do within our church. That's how our church fits within the Lord's design for humanity. So how do we establish that culture in our groups? You as leaders with your 16 people, how do you do this really well? I'm going to give you three core things, then I'm going to pass it off to Rena or to Mimi. But I'm going to give you three core things that I want you to always come back to. They're not these world-beating things that you've never heard before, but at the very core, if you do these three things really well, I promise you, you're going to have a very fruitful group this year. The first is that you would always point your group towards Scripture. Your job as a leader is not to have every answer. When somebody asks the really hard question that you inevitably don't know, or they ask you about what your belief of the end times is, or whatever it may be, you don't have to have the answers. That's not your job. Your job is to say, well, let's see what Scripture has to say about it. I believe that this is God's breathed word, and I may not know the answer, or maybe like I'm not quite sure, so let's look at this together. That's how you equip somebody to do ministry really well. Because if you just give them the answer, and maybe you just think you're right, and maybe you are right, when the guy in their office asks them that same question, maybe they remember what you said and maybe they don't. But if you say, hey, let's go look at Scripture together, what great ministry for that guy and that guy in his office. When he asks the question, he says, you know, I'm actually not really sure what it says about that. I know I'm a Christian and you think I should have the answer to that, but let's look at Scripture because I believe this is true and I guarantee you it has the answer. So let's look at it together. That's what good ministry looks like. And it doesn't mean that you can't have the answer, that you can't always just give a response. But your first and primary aim should always be to point people back to Scripture. The second thing is that you should have high relational engagement. It should be obvious that you genuinely care for your people. It's really easy to be in the position of a leader and to go through the motions and to do all of the things right. But what makes people want to come back to your group week after week is if they see somebody who actually cares about them. And when they walk in the door, you say, how's that thing with your mom that you prayed for last week? How's that thing? Did you get that job that we've been praying for this past week? You know, what's going on here that you talked about in your group this last week? Hey, you asked this question in our curriculum time this past week. I worked on getting the answer for you, and here's kind of what I think, and here's where it's at in Scripture. I'd love to talk to you more about it if you want to. And they're like, oh my gosh, he actually remembered something I said. He actually remembered that I said that. He actually remembered that I was really stressed about that this week. Like, high relational engagement. Maybe it looks like somebody who feels really insecure and it's obvious. Somebody, the person in your group that's not saying a word and sitting in the back corner, and it's you saying, hey, let's go grab a coffee this week. I'd like to get to know you a little bit better. You know, I want to see what you're all about and why you joined our group. I'd love to care for you in some way. Like, go grab a coffee with them. Invite them over for dinner with your family. Bring people into your environment and show them that you care. High relational engagement. And the third thing here is that you would cast purposeful vision, that you would set really good expectations for where you're going. And some of our breakouts will talk a little bit more about this. But the idea is that your first week, your first month, whatever it may be, you say, hey, let's look at April. Let's look at May and see where we're going. In April, when you leave our group, I want every single individual in this group to be invested in discipleship in some way. And right now, you might not even know what discipleship is because you just joined Grace Bible Church if it's a growth group. But this is where we're going. This is where we're going to be. Maybe it's something to that effect. Maybe it's just you've been asking for the same prayer for 3 or 4 weeks in a row. When it gets to April, we're gonna have overcome this. We're gonna pray so hard and we're gonna fast and I'm gonna hold you accountable to it and we're gonna overcome this together. That's where we're gonna be in April. Cast purposeful vision for your group such that people understand what direction you're heading in together. This is how you equip them. I want you to be doing these things. I want you to be a leader at Grace Bible Church. I want you to be a leader with whatever ministry you're involved in. Call them to these things and then show them how you're going to get there. Cast purposeful vision, point people towards Scripture, and be highly relationally involved with them. And I promise you, your group will not fail, and you will have way more fun than if you just grow through their motions. If you're just here because somebody called you 10 times, and it was probably me, and you're like, fine, I guess I'll do it, you're not going to have a lot of fun this year. You're just not. But I promise if you buy in, you hold to these three core things, if nothing else, you're going to end up having a great year. That's all I've got for right now. I'm going to bring Mimi up here. She's going to talk through a lot of the logistical things that'll help you get started and make sure that you know where you're going.
Okay, hi again.
Scott, there's one slide for her. Sorry, I'm going to jump in here. It's got the leader logistics, something like that. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, leader logistics. I just have a few things to talk about, but one thing that will be really important for y'all as leaders, we have what we call leader resource page. You may have seen it, especially if you've been in a community group in the past. What we're doing this year is a little bit different. We'll have a main leader resource page where we'll have all of these resources, like the audio files from today, like a format of meetings, fall schedule, prayer guide, all that will be on the leader resource page. We'll also have a community group resource page and a growth group resource page, and that is for participants that you'll be able to send out. We'll include those links in every email that we send to you. We will communicate in a large email the first of the month, and there'll be the links to the resource pages, any events we have coming up. That will be like a main communication. Also, we love to hear from you anytime about anything. You might think, oh, this is small, they don't want to hear from me, or they hear from everyone else. It's not true. We love to hear from you about anything big or small, so please reach out that if anything comes up in your group, but these resource pages will kind of be like your homepage. They're hidden on our website, not because they're like private or secret, but it's just, I don't know why we have them hidden, but just don't need them for all the world to see. So we'll send those out, but those are going to be really important for y'all to access, to know, and then you'll be able to send the participant pages out. I hope that makes sense. We're still kind of working through what we're going to do with that. Travis said this at the beginning, but make sure to meet with your leader team if you don't know your co-leaders. If you want us to help you, we will connect y'all. You'll be able to reach, like, see who they are on the GVC Connect page. If you haven't looked at your GVC Connect page yet, please do. If you're not assigned a team, we're still figuring it all out. But if you are assigned a team, please double check your co-leaders to make sure that it's like the dad and not a child. That sometimes happens, or a sibling or something like that. Also check your host home and the address. Addresses change, and we don't know about it. So just double check all of those things on your GBC Connect page. And this is something rogue. We will find a photo of you on Google, and we'll put it on your GBC Connect page. It just helps us. You could put a photo on your GBC Connect page yourself, or I will, or my lovely, helpful friend, Elizabeth Allen, will find you. Anyway, and it might not be you, the picture that we find. So it's just really helpful for us to attach a name with a face. We see so many of y'all on Sundays. We want to say hi. We want to know you. But first, your leaders, y'all are new to us. So if you want to, I mean, Travis's picture is from, I think we determined 2014, that I found before he was even on staff. So just as like a fun thing, we would love to see your photo on GBC Connect. It's also helpful for your participants because they'll, when they access the roster, they'll be able to see your pictures. It's not cheesy, just trust us. If your leader team does, none of y'all are hosting, Andrea or I will work to find host homes for you from participants. We will communicate that with you probably next week and the following week. So we'll connect you. Maybe y'all can meet on a Sunday, but if you don't have a host home as a leader team, we'll find you one, I promise. Hopefully, we will. And yeah, Travis said it, meet with your group, spend as much time together you can the next couple of weeks, kind of set a schedule for the year. We'll have on the Leader Resource page a week zero outline. We'll have a sample schedule for both growth group and community group. It's just a sample, but I would follow it. I don't know. We've done it a few years and it works. So, you know, I think you could follow it and it would work out really well for your year. One thing, it's at the bottom bullet point, is childcare reimbursement. A lot of people don't know that we do that. It's a way that we can come alongside leaders and participants. That's available for leaders and participants. There's a link on the Leader Resource page. Please send that to any participants. Please send that to your leader team. Just know that that's available. Reimburse weekly on a monthly basis, but per week. And I think that's all. All of this will be on the Leader Resource pages. If you have any questions, please come find us, text us, email us. Come find us on a Sunday. I will awkwardly introduce myself to you just to find out what your name is. So we're thankful for y'all. Excited y'all are here, excited y'all are leading, and excited for the year ahead.
Awesome. Thanks, Mimi.
Oh, thanks.
Real quick, just to help further clarify the resource page deal, we have a growth group page and a community group page, and then we're going to have a leaders page that's just for y'all. So we've always done leader videos that some of you may have seen and may not have seen for every single week. We do like a 7 to 15 minute video, depending on who's doing the video, of just like an overview for the week, good questions to ask, all that kind of stuff. We've realized that there's no point in that just being for leaders. If it's helpful for participants, then why not allow it for participants too? And so we've created those pages that's going to go to everybody within those groups. And then on the leader side, you're going to find a lot of the things that were on that bullet point list, like week zero outlines. Like, your participants just don't need to see it. It's not important for them. Let's remove all the confusion. All those type of resources, the audio from the conference, that'll be over there. So anyway, there's three different pages. Y'all will have a leader page specifically, the growth group and community group combined. It'll have everything you guys need, and then your groups will have access to the other two pages. So real quick, before we keep going, any questions so far, right after the logistics portion of that, any questions about groups, about how they're set up, about anything that Mimi just talked about? No questions so far. Are we positive? Awesome. You guys are great. Okay, let's keep going then. If y'all have your Bibles, if you have your Bible app, I would say open it up. I think it's always good to read along. I am going to talk, just try to encourage you in some ways for just a moment before Ranelle gets up here and shares one of our training tools with you. And I really kind of identified Philippians 2, 1 through 4 in the way that I wanted to do that. So that's kind of where that blank is on encouragement for leaders. You can write Philippians 2, 1 through 4. I'm going to read that real quick. I'm going to point out a couple things from it, and then I'm going to ask Ranelle to come up here. So Philippians 2, Paul's writing to the church in Philippi, and he says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So as I was looking for what I thought would be a fun verse to kind of just pull a few leadership principles from, this is really where I landed, and I want to talk through kind of three things that I pulled from it. And the first is that your encouragement comes from Christ. It comes from Christ, and it comes for his glory. And so what I mean by that is, as leaders stepping into the fall, if your spiritual health is not in a good place, you're going to have a bad time in group, and you're going to find that you burn out rather quickly. And so your encouragement as a leader, the zeal, the joy in leading, seeing the ministry that comes from your group, from the people in your group, from your leadership in some ways, that's not going to be there if you're not in a good place spiritually. And so my encouragement to you is to talk with your co-leaders and hold each other accountable to spending good time with the Lord, to actually praying for your groups this year. Go ahead and start praying for your groups now, praying for each other. Be an accountability group in and of yourselves as a leadership team, and make sure that your encouragement in leading your groups is first and foremost coming from your own faith. and from the encouragement that that is, and spending time daily with the Lord, and whatever that looks like. So it's a hard thing to do over 8 months, as much as I hate to say it, the consistency of praying for your groups constantly and being in a great spiritual place at all times. But amongst your team, I would encourage y'all to be accountable to one another in that and continue to fan the flame, ask what other people are reading, whether it's Exodus or whether it's your own devotional or whether it's the growth group material, whatever it is. What's the Lord teaching you in this? How are you applying this personally? Do you feel like you're encouraged? Do you feel like you're neutral? Do you feel like you're discouraged right now? Where are you at? Try to get dinner together at least quarterly and ask those questions just amongst your leader team, because I promise you're going to find a lot of burnout come March if you're ignoring your own spiritual health amongst trying to pour into your group. It just doesn't work that well. And so encouragement comes from Christ, and it's unto his glory. That's the first piece. The second piece is, this is kind of out of the negation of what Paul is saying, but recognize your gifts and recognize your group's gifts. And the reason I say this is because Paul talks about being of one mind, and he talks a lot about unity three or four times in this passage. And part of that is you as leaders identifying where each person in your group is gifted. We are one body with many members, and the members are all uniquely gifted. And so part of your role as a leader is to identify the gifts of the people in your group and to make sure that they're able to utilize those in some way, or to challenge them to utilize those in some way. So within a group, and this is speaking within a group and outside of a group, within a group, if you have somebody who's really administratively gifted or really evangelistically gifted or really maybe teaching gifted, find ways to utilize them in some capacity. If you have a fellowship coming up and you need everybody to sign up for what meal they're going to bring, make sure the administrative person is in charge of your spreadsheet and over making sure that everybody's bringing all the right things and texting people and making that happen. You don't have to do everything as a leader. Part of your role as a leader is to delegate things to people who are really gifted in different areas. Maybe if somebody has, you know, a theology degree or is really gifted in teaching and you get a few hard questions and you feel like you're just talking way too much as a leader or you're whatever you're doing, maybe it's that you share and you say, hey, what do you think about this? You know, how have you thought about this? Do you have any passages that come to mind that would help us answer these questions? And call out the people that are maybe really gifted in that area. Maybe you're doing a fellowship out in public and you ask the guy who's really evangelistically gifted to spend time like showing your group what it looks like to bring Jesus up in a conversation randomly. You know, whatever it may be, however the people in your group might be gifted, and if you're looking for like, what are the things I should be looking for in the very back of your growth group curriculum at least, which you all have one, week 20 is spiritual gifts. You all just went through it. Like, go look for what some of those gifts are and start to identify those in your group and figure out, how can I use this person's gift in our group? Because when people find that purpose in their group and they're like, man, they're really using me and the things that I love to do, they want to come back and they want to participate and they want to invest. And again, your group is going to be all the more fruitful for it. So weeks 1, 2, 3, identify what those gifts are in people. Identify your gifts and where to best serve your group. Identify the people's gifts in your group and start to unify as a group. And start to move forward with one direction, utilizing all of these different members of your group. That's what I think will really, really establish a great culture in your group. And the third thing here is radical love through servant leadership. Equip them out of obvious care, out of genuine care. I think you can put whatever word you want in there. I think genuine is a great word. I talked a little bit about this earlier, but go out of your way to look to the interests of others, as Paul puts it. Like in some ways, dying to self such that you might really receive life and you might really find the joy in ministry is just the gospel. It's at the core of the gospel. And in some ways, your job as a leader is to die to self a little bit. If you're the guy that goes to bed at 9 o'clock every night because you got to get up for work the next day, you're going to have to die to yourself. And you're going to have to leave your doors open for a little bit longer because people want to hang around and they want to ask questions. And they don't have anybody in Houston because they're brand new to Houston or they're brand new to GBC and they don't have any good relationships yet. And all they want to do is talk to you for a little bit. Like, you're going to have to die to self and you're going to have to go to bed at 10:30 that night. I promise you, there are so many different ways in which you as a leader will find that you can die to self and that you can look to the interests of others such that your group might be best served. That's another thing that you as a leader team is going to have to identify. How do we bring people in to places where it might be a little bit challenging? It might be a little bit difficult. My house is messy. I've got one toddler and one that's coming in imminently. And, you know, small group season is here and the house is just chaos. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't invite people into my home so that they don't see that. Invite people into the chaos. Let them see how you parent, how you're a husband, how you whatever, how you lead your friends, how you whatever it may be. Invite people into your mess and allow them to see it, be transparent, and serve them in that way, even if you think it's gonna be difficult or if you want your time or whatever it may be. Find ways for you to die to self, to serve the interests of others, to lose sight of your own interests, your own selfish desires for what you hope your group is, and start to serve the interest of your group as a whole. That's how you should think about it. A lot of times people will call me with a specific person and they'll say, should I do this or this or this to our group because of this one person? And I say, my job is to look out for your entire group. My job is to look out for the health of your group. And while the health of that one person is really important, it is, make sure that you're serving the interest of your group, moving towards that common vision that you have set for them, and you can care for the individuals on the side in different ways, and you can die to self in different ways to serve them. So those are a few things. So practically what that means then, and these are those final two blanks there, the two practicals that come from that are creatively pursue the interests or what's best for each individual in your group. That goes back in a lot of ways to identifying their gifts. That goes back to figuring out what their interests are. That goes back to what the vision for your group is. But creatively pursue the interests of each individual such that you would equip them best. And the second part there then is that we would develop them to become disciple makers. So you've identified their interests, their gifts, whatever it may be, their spiritual maturity. Your job is to then equip them, to develop them to become leaders, to be disciple makers. That's where you as a leader fits within the small groups ministry, fits within Grace Bible Church, fits within the meta-narrative of Scripture, is that you're developing people to be disciple makers such that the kingdom would be advanced, that people would come to know the gospel in different ways. And so you might say, this person is low on knowledge, on theology. Let's build them up with Scripture. Maybe I want to study something with him on the side. This person is low relationally, but man, they've got a lot of theological wisdom. Let's figure out what it looks like to help them be more social and talk more in group, and to speak up more in group and to ask good questions. Let's call on them to ask those questions so that they can practice it right here in this comfortable environment with fellow believers so that when they're in the world, they would have more confidence doing that. Look at what every individual, how every individual in your group can be developed. Talk about it as a leader team and say, I'm gonna go develop this person. I'm gonna go develop this person. Some of you will have people that are very, very, very mature Christians in your groups that aren't leading for some reason or another, good or bad, whatever it may be. Use them, delegate things to them, ask them to develop certain people. Again, delegation is one of the best leadership qualities you can have. Identify, delegate, and develop the people in your group to be disciple makers, and we'll accomplish all the purposes that go up that chain, that go up that funnel. Those are the things that I wanted to leave you with. Hopefully that's a little bit of an encouragement, something you can look back to on occasion, something you can talk about as a leader team whenever you guys meet quarterly, because you guys are all gonna do that because I mentioned it. And you can look back to this sheet and you can say, what are the things that we need to talk about and we need to remember now that it's October, now that it's January, now that it's March? What are the things we need to remember? I've got this thing in the front of my curriculum. Let's go through a couple of them. With that being said, I want to invite Ranelle up. She's going to work through one of our training tools. This is called the Six Gospels. Maybe a few of you have seen it, but I think it's going to be really helpful in identifying some of those things within your group. Yes, sir. Hey, CJ. Yeah, the people who are teaching always grow the most.
Awesome. Okay.
The last thing that we're going to do today is a tool. Travis mentioned the other three dates. Each time that we gather as a first-year leader meeting, we're going to give you a tool. We have a ton of these. It's not like this one is the only one that you need, but all of the tools that we give to you, we're hoping they're not just about being a first-year leader. We're hoping these continue to equip us as we go about ministry the rest of our lives. So you can flip the page. You are not, I will tell you when you might want to start taking notes, because we're not going to start there, but Don't be scared if you see six Gospels and you think, what church have I come to? There's only one. We'll get there. Okay, so I want to take you back to elementary school, possibly. This is when I first remember. It was indoor recess often when we did this, the telephone game. And indoor recess, we're sitting there, we're all in our desks, and someone whispers to someone some phrase or a sentence, and it passes around, all the way around, and then it gets to the end. And it's been tweaked, or there's something totally missing. And that was the fun part, kind of hearing what happened and giggle, giggle, whatever, or trying to figure out where it went wrong. So I want you to have that in the back of your mind, because if it stayed the same, it wasn't that fun. But when it twisted or became something different, that's when we got laughter. Well, that's the opposite of what we want to have happen with the gospel, obviously. And so when messages are tweaked or something's missing, then we begin to see the ramifications. I grew up in a small town in Oklahoma. For me, I grew up in the church, but I grew up in a situation where something was left out, something was missing from what I was taught in church. We were at church every Sunday, often every Wednesday, every time there was something there, but we really didn't talk about God outside of the church building. I'm pretty competitive. I'm the person in Sunday school that was like, you tell me there's a prize if you know all the books of the Bible first, then I'm going to know all the books of the Bible first. So I was gathering information left and right through that time, and I was a rule follower. So that became what I knew of God. I knew a lot, but I didn't have this understanding that I needed anything, specifically a Savior. So I had some good ingredients, but something huge was left out. Learned a lot about God. But not needing him was something that someone, when I was in high school, finally said, okay, but do you know you need a Savior? And the relief, the joy that came from that and what I began to learn at that point was obviously life-changing. I was missing the kingdom gospel. So I learned great things about God, but I needed the full picture of the gospel to see what that actually did in my life and how that was life-changing. So we're going to talk about the gospels that can be presented both in a church or that we can fall into believing. So you can turn your page, six gospels. There's really only one, but we're going to see how these five can represent in a church or really what we're talking about today in our own hearts or when you're listening to other people as they begin to talk about their relationship with the Lord. And why in the world would we want to stay rooted? I think of Hebrews 2:1. It says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, referring to the gospel, lest we drift away from it. And so this tool helps us remind ourselves, but it also helps us give direction when we begin to lean in with people. Where can I bring in truth? What might they be missing, or where might that be tweaked? So what are the six gospels? I didn't make this up. GBC didn't make this up. This is adapted from Bill Hull's book, Conversion and Discipleship, and he speaks to five common gospels that we see in individual hearts or in the church today. And the check for us is just how do we keep ourselves rooted in the kingdom gospel? So what I'm going to do is give you a high, big view of this. I've taught this over 45 minutes. You're going to get it in like six or seven. So what we're going to do on the chart that you see, I'm going to give you a tagline for each of the gospels. You can write that in where it says tagline. Right underneath it, there's a blank. Then I'm going to describe the gospel. You don't need to write anything. Just listen to that. And then I will say, this is what it can create. Now, my caveat here is I'm not saying, okay, you're about to meet a bunch of people in your group. Go try to categorize them. That's not the goal. But as you begin to get used to this, it is something that as you listen to life stories, as you, even with people at work, you begin to hear patterns that may fit one of this. And you're like, oh my gosh, this gives me direction of what I can bring to the table, where I can point them. So that caveat is you're going to hear this in categories, but use that in a looser term, in a looser sense. So most likely, in fact, I can guarantee, you're going to hear truth in all five of these. The question is, what's missing or what got tweaked? Where's the tweak there that needs to be fulfilled with the kingdom gospel? So we're going to start with forgiveness only. The tagline that you can put there is, be forgiven. Be forgiven. The description, and this is the part you don't just listen to. I just want you to listen, is be forgiven is the gospel. It's true. But it's a focus on conversion, being saved. It emphasizes the plan of salvation, but omits or doesn't give attention to the repentance, the life of obedience, what comes after being saved. So it can leave room for everything else is optional. I'm saved, period. So what does that create? I'm going to give you two things under what that can create. It's not the only things. It's not a guarantee it's going to create this, but these are the things that it could create. First is an all about you salvation. It's not about God, it's about you being saved. So it's not about God's glory in that. So it's that. Secondly, it can create passivity in obedience to God. So an all about you salvation or passivity. And again, as I said, it's not a guarantee it's going to create that, but that's the danger of what it can create. So there's this optional following of Christ. The key is you were saved, period. As opposed to you were saved and resurrected with a new body and there's following of Jesus Christ. So that's where that is. In other words, I'm saved, I can live like I want. That's forgiveness only. Okay, secondly, we move to the left gospel. I told you we'd go quick. Help, the tagline there is help the needy, help the needy. Description, you're just listening to me now. This is the emphasis on caring well for the needy. You're hearing that? That sounds great. Absolutely. But when it is elevated above us knowing who God is and us responding to the kingdom gospel, more importantly, when it's elevated and we define what care or love looks like, that's the catch point there, is it's not focused on saving people according to the gospel, but it's transforming society through a certain way that we begin to dictate. So what does it create? Two possibilities. A priority to love others with your definition of love. A priority to love others with your definition of love. And secondly, an accommodation to culture. So those are things, and as I said before, doesn't guarantee it's going to create that, but could create that. In other words, it's a love others by my definition, and that supersedes biblical truth. Moving to the third, prosperity gospel. Tagline is claim your rights. Claim your rights. I'm going to describe that. This looks more like God management. If I have enough faith, then I'm going to get what I want. If I believe in a God, then I'm guaranteed this. It replaces a preeminent God with one who becomes a means to my end. What can it create? Two things. Entitlement. I deserve this because I believed enough, I hoped enough, I did enough. So entitlement. And secondly, disillusionment when that doesn't happen. So that's our prosperity gospel. Consumer gospel, tagline, meet your needs or your wants. Meet your needs or your wants. Description, this replaces the slow path of authentic maturity with methods and programs for a quick fix or what I want or need. You can see this when it's shop for a church that fits your needs. What can it create? Two things. Self-indulgence and a man me-centered culture. In other words, I need a quick, easy fix to this issue or this need or something I've identified. The right gospel, tagline, to be right concerning God's word. Description, this is the more I know, the more that I understand God's word, that alone equals spiritual maturity. And so what we know of doctrine begins to outweigh living it out. Two things it can create. An over-emphasis on doctrinal correctness And the key there is the overemphasis, because obviously the doctrinal correctness is what we hope for. It's tricky. God does want us to seek truth, live in truth. But when that supersedes living out the truth, second thing it creates is the heart change takes a back seat. So doing the things God has called us to do is exchanged for merely thinking those things. In other words, I just need to know enough or do enough. So in summary, we've got forgiveness only. I'm saved. I can live like I want. But that's omitted when we think of the gospel, the burial, and the resurrection of what comes next. The left, love others by my definition. Prosperity, I can believe enough. Consumer, I need a quick, easy fix. Right, I just need to know enough. If you can hear anything here, all of those, what they have in common is it's I-centered. It's about me. So the good news is the kingdom gospel over there on their own, the tagline I want you to put there is follow me, not me, Jesus, follow Christ. And the description, I'm going to let God's word describe this one. Many passages I could go to. If you want to open to 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to read verses 1 through 8, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, or you can listen to me. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. In Paul's words here, we see number one in verse one, he's saying, remind you, brothers. We need reminding of the kingdom gospel. It is so easy for our own hearts to lean or be tweaked or omit what we have. And in verse one through two, we also see him say, we've received the gospel, we stand in it currently, and we are being saved, sanctified by it. So it was given to us, it's active today, and it's being saved. But in 3 and 4, he says, it's not just that he died for our sins, but he was buried and resurrected. And that we know is true of us, that we get to be resurrected with Christ in our new body. Romans 6:4, we were buried therefore with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So yes, forgiveness is true, like we saw in the forgiveness gospel, but it's not the end of the story. It's the burial, it's the resurrection, it's the putting off of the old and putting on to the new. So what does the kingdom gospel create? It creates response and action, a grateful heart that responds, and it creates kingdom participation. Again, I just flew through something and gave you a lot of information. But I want to remind you what I said at the beginning. It's not about categorizing people as you get to know them, but it is part of listening to patterns. When you get to know someone in your group and you hear them continue to say things like, I can't do enough. I mean, how could God forgive me? I wasn't at group. You're like, wait a minute, they're trying to be right. Or they're leaning in all the time to, this is what it looks like to love someone. And it's not a complete picture of God's love through Jesus Christ. You're like, okay, that's where I can lean in. So a non-believer, we're sharing the kingdom gospel. A small group participant that's been in church for a long time, you start listening to these things and you hear the pattern. You're like, wait, this is where I can go. This is my next step in how I help anchor them. It's a catch point for us too, for where we lean. So I'm listening for patterns, consistencies to help direct them to where the kingdom gospel is. Subtle omission or a twisting. Going back to the telephone game that I said at the beginning, it's like sometimes it's what got left out, and sometimes it's about what got twisted. But taking us back, we want to be reminded day in and day out so that we live in a heart that's ready to respond in action and that we get to participate in the kingdom. So, quick tool. If you have any questions, you can talk to any of us. Conversion and discipleship is Conversion and Evangelism by Bill Hull is a source for that too. We thank you guys for being here. We are finished with our first year leader meeting, and we are about to be joined by all the other small group leaders. So if you need a quick bathroom break, if you need to stand, get a drink, etc., we're thankful, but we'll be in here in a couple minutes.
I said I was hoping you were going to wrap that up.